I know you're just dying to find out what these little cards are in your bulletin this morning, and you just have to be a little more patient. I'm going to explain those in just a minute, if you hadn't already guessed. First, I want to read a passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 10, verses 42-42. Before I read, though, let's bow together in a moment of prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's talk about feeling welcome. Is there any better feeling than when you're a little lost, a little out of your element, maybe far from home in strange circumstances, feeling like a stranger, and suddenly someone makes you feel so welcome that all of a sudden you feel like you're at home? It's a wonderful feeling. When I was a kid, and even as a pastor, I've had to move around a lot, so I couldn't even count all the times that others have made me or my family feel welcome. One instance stands out in particular. Right at the end of the sixth grade, our family moved from Washington State down here to Texas, to Iowa Park. There were 6 weeks left in the school year. My mother thought it'd be good if we moved right before the end of the school year so I could get to know some of the kids in my class. And I did get to know some of them, but I didn't really make any friends in that short amount of time. And then school was out, and I faced a whole long summer, not knowing anyone, not having anything to do. Oh, I was feeling so sorry for myself. But then one of the kids in my sixth grade class who lived not far from me, named Johnny Woods, came over to my house. And he made me, Diane, you remember Johnny Woods? Yeah. Johnny Woods and Billy James, they came to my rescue. And they came and introduced themselves to me and started inviting me to do things with them. And all of a sudden, that summer didn't feel quite so long. And they made me feel welcome. Sometimes all it takes to feel at home is an introduction. In our Healthy Church Initiative group, we read several books together. One of the books was by a pastor, Jim Osier, and Fiona, who wrote the book with him. Jim just retired from the conference office of New Church Development and Congregational Revitalization, but you may have heard Jim speak from time to time at conference events or district events, doing his training on hospitality and welcome. And he tells a story in this book about a particular introduction, about a very sort of pompous old preacher, very staid, very dignified, the preacher of Methodist, First Methodist Episcopal Church South, in St. Louis, Missouri. And he was going to introduce Mark Twain. Well, he didn't want the spotlight to go off of him for a while, so he strode back and forth on the stage, trying to hog the spotlight as much as he could, stuffed his hands down in his pockets, and he said, "I submit to you that tonight you should experience a unique happening." He said, "You should hear a humorist who should be funny." And then Mark Twain rushed up on the stage, and he sort of made fun of the preacher. He stuck his hands in his pockets, and he started striding up and down, back and forth on the stage. And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that you should enjoy two unique experiences tonight. You will hear a humorist who will be funny, and you've just seen a Methodist preacher with his hands in his own pockets. Sometimes as a pastor, I get to introduce other people to the pulpit or in other situations. I've introduced a few bishops in my time or district superintendents. Several years ago, at Minister's Week at SMU, I got to introduce a pretty famous Methodist pastor named Kirby John Caldwell from Houston. Oh, I was so nervous that I would say the right thing and I wouldn't mess the introduction up. I don't guess I've ever had to introduce anyone really, really famous. If I did, I know I would be a nervous wreck. But on the other hand, introductions can be fun, especially if we get to introduce, say, one of our good friends to another of our good friends. But introductions can be awkward a little bit. Say you're in the grocery store and you run into an old girlfriend or boyfriend and you have to introduce them to your new girlfriend or boyfriend. That could be a little bit awkward. Or when you're trying to introduce someone to someone else, you suddenly forget one or both of their names. That can be awkward too. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But church really, at its foundation, is about introductions. Not just introducing people to one another, but introducing Jesus Christ to our friends. There's a great story in the first chapter of John's Gospel, and if there'd been time, I would have read that this morning too. It's a story about introductions, but John the Baptist is still on the scene, and he's introducing some of his followers to Jesus because John understood his role. He didn't want the spotlight to be on him. He knew he was the one who came to prepare the way for the Messiah, so he was introducing as many people as he could to Jesus. One of those he introduced was Andrew. And as soon as Andrew met Jesus, he was so impressed, he couldn't wait to go and tell his brother Simon Peter, "Hey, I've met this most fantastic person. You've got to come and meet him." And Andrew introduced Simon Peter to Jesus. And then the next day, the introductions continued. Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, so he found Philip, who was from a little village on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he said, "Follow me," to Philip. And then Philip went and found his friend Nathanael and invited him to come and meet Jesus because you've got to meet Jesus. He's the real thing. The power of introductions. That's how good news is spread. Simply friends telling other friends about their encounter with Christ. We do it all the time with a lot of other things. When you go to a really good movie or you read a good book, do people read books anymore? I guess some of us still read books. Or you go to a really great restaurant, you can't wait to tell other people about it. And now the way you do it, of course, is you go on Facebook onto Rants and Raves of Wichita Falls. If you've never been to it, don't even go on that site. But you go there or some other website, you know, or Twitter, and you tell people about this great restaurant you went to. Or say this great movie or something, some other good experience in your life. We can't wait to share those and recommend those to other people. Well, I would hope that our relationship with Jesus is so special to us and our experience in church is so important to us that we would tell our friends about that and then they would tell their friends and the word would spread. This month, we've been talking about some of the things that make a great church, a great spirit, a great purpose or mission, a great Savior. And today, we remember that a great church takes a great welcome. We want people to feel welcome whenever they come within the doors of this church. And not just to say, go up to someone and say, "Hi, how are you doing?" But to go above and beyond that, to really go the extra mile with our hospitality. And it all begins with introductions. We may not realize it, but all kinds of people that we come into contact with may need an introduction. Maybe you have some folks who just moved into a house down the street from you, some new neighbors. Maybe they moved in from out of state. And just imagine what they're going through. They probably miss their family, their friends like I did, the sixth grade Don did back in 1966. And there maybe they're wondering, how are we going to raise our kids with none of our family here with us anymore? Or maybe you have someone you work with who's wrestling with guilt or some kind of unresolved conflict that's really weighing them down. Or maybe it's a family member or a close friend who's just lost that sense of meaning or purpose in their life. Or those nearly invisible people who live homeless on the streets or struggle with an addiction or they're just fighting an uphill battle every day to survive. These introductions, I'm not talking about going door to door, knocking on a stranger's door, you know, and say, inviting them to church or, hey, have you heard about Jesus Christ? Because truthfully, none of us really would feel comfortable doing something like that. That's just not what Methodists do. But I'm talking about beginning with building relationships right here within the walls of our church, especially with those who come to our church for the first time or the first few times. Because we know people come to church for a lot of different reasons nowadays. There are a few people who may be out just sort of church shopping, but a lot of times it's a life change or a hurt or a need in their life that drives them to come to church. Maybe they've had a death in their family, and they're just seeking some comfort or answers from God about why that happened. Or maybe they're here because their friend's child is being baptized or confirmed, or they know someone in the youth choir, the children's choir, that's singing that Sunday. Or they're beginning a family and they know they need some help from someone to raise their kids, and they've heard the church is a good place to do that. Or as often happens, someone gets a bad diagnosis at the doctor, and they know they don't want to face that alone. We may not realize the number of people who come to our church for the first time. And the question is, will they come back a second time? One of the distinctions that Jim in his book and others have helped draw is the difference between a visitor and a guest. So often we call them our first-time visitors or the folks who visit our church, or we put a sign up out in the parking lot for a parking space for first-time visitors. And sometimes we don't stop to think about the meaning of the word, but nowadays we're encouraged to use the word guest instead of visitor. Even in stores and restaurants, you see signs for guest parking. And we use the words interchangeably, but as Jim points out, a visitor is more someone who shows up at your door unexpectedly. You know, you've sat down in your comfortable chair, you've got your snack beside you, you've got your slippers on, you've turned on the TV to watch your favorite show, and all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door, the doorbell rings, and think, oh, who in the world is coming now to interrupt my TV show? And so you go to the door kind of resentful, and you look out through the curtain and see if you're even going to answer the door or not, or look through the peephole, and maybe it's someone you don't recognize, and you open the door, and they're there to tell you about their church. That's a visitor. But a guest is someone that you've invited, someone that you've prepared for. Maybe you cleaned your house for them. You made a special snack for them. You invited them over to your house to watch the Cowboy game or the Rangers game or the Super Bowl. And you just keep looking out the window to see if they've arrived yet. Their visit is expected and prepared for. And we want people who come to our church for the first time to feel not like visitors, unexpected people, but like guests that we've prepared for the coming for a long time. The Healthy Church Initiative that I mentioned a minute ago, we're getting ready in the fall to go into phase two. And we'll do a self-study. We'll look at our church and where we are now and some of the trends in the past. But one of the unique features about this, friends, and I'm gonna tell you up front, they're going to send some people who are going to be mystery worshipers. We're not going to know when they're coming or who they are, but they're just going to show up in our church service sometime in our building, and they're going to check us out. And they're going to, you know, were they welcomed warmly? Did anybody speak to them? Did we have good hospitality? And frankly, I'm a little bit nervous about that. Not that I'm afraid that they won't be, but, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. Sometimes you feel like, oh, you could have done more. So be ready for that. It's probably like a restaurant when you feel like maybe they were a reviewer of your restaurant and you try to go out of your way to make their experience special. We don't want to be anything other than we are, but we know every church needs to raise its level of hospitality. No matter how well it's doing, we can always do more because we want people really to feel at home. But just be ready for that. It's sort of like, when they promised that the shoemaker was told in a vision that Jesus was going to visit his house one night, and every person who came to the door, he treated like they were Jesus. That's the way we need to treat every person who comes to our church. But making a connection with them is the vital thing. If we don't make a connection, they may come one time, but if they don't feel connected to anyone or anything in the church, they may not come back. We want to help them be connected to God and be connected to the people in our church. And that's where this little card, this 5-10 link rule comes from. Jim Ozer has shared this with churches in the North Texas Conference for a long time. And I think it's just helpful to have this little reminder, 5-10 link. 5 has to do with time. 10 has to do with space. Link has to do with making connections. And just quickly, it's a reminder that in the 5 minutes before worship starts and 5 minutes after worship is over, go out of your way to find someone you don't know or you haven't met to introduce yourself. Because our tendency is in church, we come to church because we may have friends here. We love to visit with our friends, catch up with them. And so our tendency is to only want to visit with our friends before Sunday school, before church. And that's fine, but have that little alarm should go off in our head. Oh, it's 5 minutes, but it's 10:45, or it's 5 minutes after worship is over. Let me seek out someone that I don't know, I don't recognize, that may be here for the first time, and let me go over and introduce myself to them. And 10 has to do with space. Again, in church, a lot of times we gather in our little huddles, our little groups, maybe in the Welcome Center or out in the Narthex, and we're talking with our friends. And we just saw this great movie last night. And someone new comes by, well, 10, if they come within 10 feet of your group, then you just break off and you go over to them and you introduce them yourself to them, and you bring them over to your group and you introduce them to the people in your group, hopefully to help them connect to someone in that group. And then the link is just making a connection, trying to find something that you have in common with that person or that you know they have in common with someone else that you can introduce them to. So 5 minutes before, 5 minutes after, within 10 feet of your group, and then try to make a connection somehow. For example, making that connection. You go up to someone you don't know and you introduce yourself, and they tell you that their name is Lucy. And you strike up a conversation with them and you find out Lucy works at Midwestern State. Oh, that's great. I know some people. There's some people in our church who work at Midwestern State. I know Angie. Angie works at Midwestern State. So you take Lucy over and you introduce her to Angie and say, hey, you all both work at Midwestern State. Do you know each other? Have you met? And then, you've made that connection. It can be as simple as that. But if you can't think of anyone who has anything in common with that person, their love for dogs or the kind of clothes they wear, then just say, hey, have you met our pastor? And you bring them over and you can introduce them to me, and then we can make that connection. But introduce them to somebody. Don't just leave them sitting there by themselves. And we don't have to be pushy about this. If someone looks like they don't really want to strike up a conversation, if they, just want to keep to themselves, then you just introduce them yourself, say hello, welcome them to church, and move on. It is possible to be too friendly sometimes, but usually that's not the problem. But we want to be friendly enough. But then there's the whole thing about names, and that can make a lot of us hesitate to introduce ourselves to people because we say, oh, I never can remember anybody's name. I have a problem with names. But we don't want that to get in the way. And Jim Ozer gives us some help with that too. For example, the easiest way is just to walk up to someone you don't know or you don't recognize and you introduce yourself. Hello, my name is Don. And chances are they will say, oh, it's nice to meet you. My name is Bob or Bill or whatever it might be. And if they don't tell you their name, then that's sort of a cue to you. Maybe they don't really want to have a conversation. And you say, well, it was nice to meet you. And you move on. But we sometimes have to be careful. with what we say. If we go up to someone and we say, hello, you know, I don't believe I've had the pleasure of meeting you. And they say, well, oh yeah, you have. You greeted me 2 weeks ago. Well, that can be awkward, but still, you know, take a chance. You're visiting with someone in the hallway, and as this still happens to me, I have a confession. I don't remember all of your names all the time either, even though I've been here a year. But you're visiting with someone, and you know you should know their name, but you can't remember their name. Maybe it just slipped your mind. And the easiest thing to do is just to say, help me with your name. Help me with your name. Not, what's your name? Or, I forgot your name. Help me with your name. Because everybody wants to be helpful, because they've probably forgotten names too, and they've appreciated help. So just help me with your name. It can be as simple as that. Avoid saying things like, are you new here? Because they may have gone to this church their whole life. They could be offended by that. Or, hey, it's nice to meet you. Is this your first time here? No, I've been going here for 45 years. Oh, okay. Well, just say, hey, I don't believe we've met, or I'd like to introduce myself. There are a lot of ways to do that. Or again, just help me with your name. And then another scenario, if it's 5 minutes after the service, you know, you're supposed to be looking for new people. You're in your little group. Maybe you're waiting out here in the hallway, you know, for your ride away from church or whatever it might be. And you see someone new come by, and you know, oh, so you break off from your group and you walk over and you introduce yourself. And they say, hi. You say, hi, my name is Don. And they say, oh, hi, my name is Chelsea. And you say, well, I'm going to introduce you to my group. So you bring them over to your group. And from the time you met them, introduce yourself, and they told you their name, and you walk over, you forgot their name. Has that ever happened to you? Sometimes that does happen. A name goes in one ear, out the other. Well, there's a trick for that, too. You bring them over to someone in your group, someone that you know, and you say, have you met Judy? And Judy will say, hi, Judy. I'm Judy. And that person says, hi, my name is Chelsea. Oh, yeah, Chelsea, that's her name again. Or what happens if you bring her over to your group and you forgot Judy's name and you forgot Chelsea's name? Then you just say, hey, have you two met one another? And Judy says, hi, my name is Judy. And Chelsea says, my name is Chelsea. And then, oh, yeah, they give you a cue. Begin always, you can just say, help me with your name. Help me with your name. That almost always works. Again, we want to practice hospitality and friendliness, not just so we'll make a good impression on those mystery worshipers, or we want to be friendly like the Rotary Club. We do this because we want to be ready to make those really big, important introductions if we have the opportunity to introduce someone to Jesus Christ, like John the Baptist did, or Andrew did, or Philip did. This helps us get ready for those really big introductions. We want hospitality and welcome to become a part of our DNA. Because, folks, if you ask any church or any person, is this church friendly? Every person will say every time, yes, this is the friendliest church in the world. We are so friendly. And a lot of times we are very friendly, but still there will be people who don't experience us that way. So that's why we have to go above and beyond. As Bishop Robert Schnese says, we have to practice radical hospitality so that every person who comes here feels welcome, feels at home, and finds a family of God to worship with here. And it all can begin with something as simple as an introduction. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this great family of faith that is filled with so many welcoming and hospitable and friendly people. But help us always to be looking for others who need an introduction, not just to ourselves, but they need an introduction maybe to you. And help us to facilitate that. Help us to be open and ready to meet new people, to welcome new people, to help them find a place to belong. Because we know there's nothing more important in life than that. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.